Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everybody, welcome to another new episode of Undying Light. I'm your host, Pastor Alex, and we are continuing our trek through social media and some of the issues and complications that have arisen from it. And, oh boy, I can't wait to get to Facebook because it is as much of a dumpster fire as everything else is. And I am just floored by the lack of discernment and just overall, you know, generic teaching that comes from Facebook. And so this one will probably spend some time looking more extensively there because it has been around longer and obviously has far more complications and impacts, I think, on a greater audience than some of the other platforms. You know, Twitter and Instagram generally are aimed towards a particular audience age group. They're younger folk, and they can be influenced easier based upon age and exposure to, you know, a good Christianity teaching, you know, something like the apostolic teachings. And there can be great influence there, and there can also be some tremendously painful influences when you don't have good sound biblical teaching and people are just, you know, running and flocking towards these moments. So you know, we've got there's always something, right, when it comes to these pages, and whether we talk about those who are qualified for making some posts and those who are not qualified for making posts, and Twitter or Insta or X is the equivalent of that. You know, they have the same thing. For instance, this Dom Lucuri, he's a pretty big account. He's got 1.1 million followers. He's got 19 subscriptions, and he follows almost 5,000 people. He's big in the conservative movement. And so he has, you know, the people like Charlie Kirk and all of those pages following him. And for the most part, I don't follow him, but for the most part, he has relatively okay content. But he puts this post up, it's been a couple of weeks, so it was done February 25th, and it's about the books of the Bible that were removed. And he talks about all of these books, and so, you know, the Apocrypha, and then he lists all these books, Enoch 1, Enoch 2, the Secrets of Enoch, the books of Esdras 1 and 2, the Maccabees 1 through 5, Tobit, Joshua, Judith, Esther, and Ecclesiastes, which Ecclesiastes is in Scripture, the Jubilees, Barak 1, 2, and 3, the Shepherd of Hermas, the Book of Wisdom, or the Wisdom of Solomon, the books of the Psalms of Solomon, the Odes of Solomon, and he keeps going on. He's got, then he gets down here to the New Testament books that we've rejected. The Gospel of James, the Gospel of Peter, of Thomas, of Nicodemus even, the Epistles of Jesus Christ, and Abgarus, king of Edessa, the Epistles of Clement, the Epistles of Barnabas, Jeremiah, the Epistle of Paul, the Apostle to the Laodiceans, the Epistles of Paul, the Apostle to Seneca, the Ephesians, and, you know, and these are done by Ignatius, by the way, you know, the Epistle of Ignatius to Polycarp, and he's got just got all of these books. And he says, well, some of these are missing: the Assumptions of Moses, the Apocalypse of Moses, the Testament of Abraham, the Apocalypse of Abraham, the Acts of Paul, the Acts of Paul and Thycra, the Apostles' Creed, which most Bibles have. Well, if you have a Creeds and Confessions Bible, you'll have that. But, you know, most Bibles won't actually hold the Creed unless you have a certain type of Bible. Psalm 151, missing chapter in the book of Psalms. And he's got all these things here. Missing chapter 3 in the book of Daniel, the prayer of Manasseh, the missing piece in chapter 33 in the book of Chronicles, the Second Chronicles. And then he claims this down here at the bottom. He says, Harry Potter, Game of Thrones, and Lord of the Rings are all worth billions together, but their books weren't altered over time. So I can't help but wonder why the Holy Bible has changed so many times. The elites never change things that don't matter. They won't touch the Bible if it didn't matter. They wouldn't touch the Bible. So he gets a disclaimer, obviously, and it says, almost all the books listed were never included in the biblical canon. They weren't removed, as they were never in the Bible to begin with. Some of the books in the first paragraph do appear in Jewish, Catholic, and Orthodox, and Ethiopian Bibles, but have never been removed. And so that's, you know, a nice little thing. And then obviously he's got he got pretty hammered in the comments here. You know, there's I bookmarked it. There's 16,000 likes, 390 quotes, and 4,000 reposts. And he's got, you know, just this handful, you know, just tons and tons of comments. And then Jordan Cooper chimes in and he says, if you actually need any further evidence that this guy just says things out of complete and utter ignorance, but with so much confidence, social media has given popular platforms to so many people who simply should not have them. I mean, Cooper says it best, man, right there. It is so frustrating to see these pages and the influence that they have. You have 1.1 million followers and you are regurgitating something that is absolutely unequivocally false. You did no prior research. You've done no sort of studying, and yet you regurgitate something that you heard from somebody or seen on a YouTube video, and you got that list, and now you're platforming it saying that this stuff was removed from the Bible when it never was included in any sort of canonical Bible ever. Yes, we have some of the Apocrypha in the Catholic and Orthodox, and some of the Protestant Bibles even have it. You know, if you just look at an NRSV, you can find it with or without the Apocrypha in it. There are Lutheran Bibles that have the Apocrypha in it. It's not that it's not excluded or rejected. It's just that some include it, some don't. Protestants, by and large, don't include it as canonical, but we would look at it and utilize it for other purposes. And so, just like Jordan Cooper says, these are just done out of complete and utter ignorance. And sometimes I feel like it is to garner attention and to, you know, kind of stir up the likes and the retweets and the posts and all that stuff. And so it gets frustrating because you have people that hold to these views, and, you know, especially a big thing in the Protestant movement, and I've seen it happen in the Catholics too, is that they will basically, you know, push down this narrative that Luther, Martin Luther, removed 7 books from the Bible. They won't tell you which 7 that he removed, but they tell you 7 books. And, you know, you get to a point where it becomes increasingly exhausting to see how much ignorance sits out there in these groups. And it just goes to show, just because you have a platform and you have a significant audience doesn't mean you have authority to teach upon a subject that you're not trained in. And especially classically trained. You haven't gone to a seminary course. You haven't gone and gotten your undergrad in biblical studies or, theological history or anything like that. You just simply watch some YouTube videos or were told by somebody in your influential circle that this is the right thing or this is something that needs to be discussed because obviously this is a problem within within Christianity. And so it is problematic and it drives me, it drives me insane because we run into these issues over and over and over again. And we find the ignorance just continuously steeping further and further. And these accounts generally often go, without any sort of response in of themselves. They're reputed and they're disputed, they're challenged, they're called out, and they generally just ignore it. They just move on and have little to no, interest in answering for their blatant disregard for historical Christianity. So we have, all sorts of interesting things that can be pushed around on social media. And what we find is just this continual kind of regurgitation of certain things. And, last week we talked about how, the oneist Pentecostal or, the modalist heresy continues to show its ugly face on social media, especially on X and Instagram for that matter. And people, again, are not being challenged or called out for it. And just case in point, I know we're not really talking on the subject of, what you call it here, Facebook. I just had to remember what the name was. And we, this guy, the post was, it was a meme, and it was this guy looked like he was waking up from a drunken stupor, and it just says at the top, dispensationalists at the second coming when they realize there is no secret rapture. And this gentleman says, so there's no rapture then, or no tribulation then? And I said, no, you're in the tribulation. And that has sparked some conversation. 7 people have laughed at it, and 8 people have liked it. And somebody just replies, no. And so I just give him a thumbs up because it's not wasting my time. And I just simply say, well, what's funny is all of these people that laugh at it offer no explanation or response. They just think it's funny. They just have no substance and they can't answer it. And so the original commenter says, well, you have to, the burden of proof is on you. You made the claim. I said, well, you asked the question. I gave my response. You want my perspective? Dispensationalism is anti-scripture. And the post-mill is a bad view. I'm amill. A view that holds that Jesus says in 24 and 25 have been happening since his ascension. The tribulation isn't a literal 7-year period, but a period that began during the church age. And of course, this dingleberry here just goes through and laughs at it. And this guy offers no rebuttal, offers no substance, and just continues to be just kind of a nightmarish person. And then somebody goes, well, Daniel 9, 20 through 27 will like to chat. And I said, yeah, that's great, but stop cherry picking text and applying it to a context of an unbiblical eschatological view. And again, we hold to this pattern that people think just because you watched some videos or you read the Left Behind books that you have some sort of ability now to discuss these topics that quite frankly are immense. They're deep. I've done 55 plus hours of studying on eschatology just on the show alone. And I would be the first to tell you, I never exhausted it, nor would I ever say I'm fully comfortable in any of it because I'm always learning. You're always going to be challenged with these things. And yet these people have no platform. And yet here we are having these discussions week in and week out on social media where they think, I watched a video, so now I'm an expert. And I can make these comments and I can laugh at people who have a different view than me without actually adding any sort of substance to it. And that's one thing I like with X or Twitter. I'm just going to call it Twitter because just more common that way, is that you have the ability to engage in conversation without just laughing at people. You can actually, you either like the post or you don't. You can either quote it or not. You can either comment on it or not. And you commenting or not commenting isn't going to hurt my feelings. And at least with Twitter, you have the ability to have supposedly a civil conversation. And often that never happens. It always turns into, you know, a dueling match of the minds. And so that's what we see a lot on Twitter. On Facebook, it's a lot different. You're going to get into these conversations. You're going to try and engage people and actually not necessarily debate, but just have conversation. And that's what I was trying to get at. And nobody wants to do that. They would rather just be children and laugh at your stuff. And so that's going to be a fun discussion when we get there. But it really is frustrating on social media just entirely. And, you know, there's these pages, the New Evangelicals. This one is a deconstructionist movement. They follow me on Instagram. I do not follow them. I do not follow them on Twitter, nor do they follow me here. But every once in a while, they pop up here. Here's a post. NRB 2024 has this. It says, release Donald Trump to address the 2024 NRB International Christian Media Convention as part of an NRB presidential forum on February 22nd. So this was done, obviously, a few weeks ago, almost a month ago. And this post was on February 6th. The New Evangelicals say breaking the world's largest association of Christian communicators invites a man who sexually assaulted a woman, lies profusely, and who graced the cover of Playboy magazine to speak at their event promoting Christian values. And, you know, they get some pushback and some comments and stuff like that. And obviously, you know, the New Evangelicals is just nothing but a pot stirring page. They don't add any sort of validity. It's if you don't agree with them, then they will lash out at you and call you names and stuff like that. I've very rarely seen them actually engage in civil discourse. It's usually just pot shots and stupid phrases. In fact, that's what we're going to see from Manson here as well, is just pot shots and stupid comments without actually engaging in civil discussion. And again, you have a platform, and so that's how you treat it. And you treat the people who follow you like dirt because you have this some sort of superiority complex that you're better than everybody, especially those who don't agree with you. And Mason would fall right into this deconstructionist movement. He's a progressive liberalist, and he has some just absolutely god-awful theology. But the New Evangelicals is just this, you know, another notch in the big scheme of players that have left, quote-unquote, the church, you know, and probably had a bad time in some non-denominational box and didn't get their way. And so now they're, quote unquote, deconstructing, and they're, you know, talking about how, you know, this is Christianity is just so bad and all this stuff. Well, what I find is interesting is a lot of these people who, quote unquote, deconstruct, they target two things. They target the right people, the right wing conservative Christian, those who hold to, you know, a conservative value in a political landscape. And then they also attack those who hold to a biblical narrative of marriage and those who oppose the LGBTQ communities. And it really is always the same thing every time you come across one of these. For instance, you know, I have in my bookmark here on Twitter, this gentleman, Zach Lambert. I've talked about him before, but he, actually, it's not. It's something on my page here. I just shared it. So this is a recent post, but I have other stuff bookmarked from him. But he says today, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus says he came to do three things: uplift the poor, heal the broken, and free captives and the oppressed. So if our gospel, quote unquote, doesn't include liberation of the poor, marginalized, and oppressed, then it's not the gospel of Jesus. This is what Zach says. Now, for those who don't know, Zach, his little title here, is born and raised in Austin, former mediocre athlete, pastor at Restore ATX, passionate about equality, holistic justice, full inclusion, and the way of Jesus. So Restore Austin is a church where anyone has a seat at Jesus's table. So perfectly fine there. But again, this is his quote unquote ministry. So he is a liberal, progressive, person. I wouldn't even call him a Christian because he muddles the gospel. And in fact, my wife and I were just having a conversation a few minutes ago about how she's doing a teaching on Galatians in the first chapter. In the verses 6 through 10, Paul talks about having another gospel. And so I reply, I said, the gospel should be simply that Jesus Christ died for you. This is Christ for you. Our response and works should be to help those who are in need. This isn't the gospel. Be wary of those who mix works into the gospel. That's what Zach is doing. He's muddying up the water of the gospel by implying that his viewpoint of liberation should be the actual focus point of the gospel. That if you aren't doing these things, then you're not really living out the gospel, or you're not really partaking in the gospel. When in fact that these things are a result of one being saved. How can I tell you to help the poor, heal the broken, and free the oppressed and captives if you don't know who Jesus Christ is? How does any of this, or why would any of this make any sense, or why would you care if I don't tell you that Christ died for your sins and forgives you of those sins? Why does this matter to help others if you are still trapped in your own sinful desire? And it goes to show how people who are in the position of a church have quote unquote authority to some eyes, but they have no actual authority to teach online or to teach the doctrines that they produce. And it really shows, you know, especially when you have somebody like him who's got, let's see here, he's got 43, almost 44,000 followers. And he's regurgitating these messages to these 44,000 people and then some, you know, with his reach. It's like, how can you push this, you know, out to people and demonstrate that you, quote unquote, have the authority to do so? I don't care if you have a church. I don't care if you have a master's in theology. You are teaching another gospel. You are conflating works-based righteousness with the righteousness of Christ. You are saying that the gift, the free gift that Christ gives for salvation is not free because you are not doing the works that you are doing. You have become the fruit police. You have now set standards and curriculum by which Jesus can only give you salvation if you do these things that Zach says you should be doing. So we find ourselves trapped in this endless pursuit of doing good deeds and ensuring that by my good deeds, I am hopefully going to earn enough salvation that I can make it to heaven. And this is the result of really, really bad social media. Interestingly enough, one of the questions my wife has in this little book is, how do you discern what's right and what's wrong teaching? Like, how, if you were to go to a bookstore, how can you look and see, you know, what is being truly biblically given versus what that would be perhaps a bad teaching or false teaching? And I said, you know, the biggest issue I think we find ourselves in as Christians, more or less than anything, is this focus of, you know, the hyper-realization of, is this, you know, is this teaching about Jesus or is this teaching about me? Is it leaving me to do more work? Is it leaving me with self-doubt and self-pity to look in upon myself, to find assurance in myself? Or is it looking to the finished work of Christ? We can listen to all the Joel Osteens and all the Stephen Furticks that we want, but you will never find assurance because they never point you to the finished work of Christ. It's always back to yourself and how much faith you have. And these preachers, you know, these liberation preachers are doing the exact same thing. They're actually now pointing towards your works, saying that you must be doing these things in order to be actually, you know, viewed as a Christian. And they disregard the free gift of salvation, and they exchange that for a lie that you must be, quote unquote, living out these values of liberation. And Zach is a huge proponent of it. Him and I have gone around and around a number of times on some of his posts, and it really just really shows some just garbage theology. So I'm going to take a little bit of a change of pace here. I'm going to show this guy. His name is Reverend Dr. Daryl Watkins of the Sunshine Cathedral, and he's going to show you why he's probably one of the top 10, according to Protesta here. of the top 10 heretical preachers in the world openly denying the Bible. And I was going to have that little excerpt played, but sound quality wasn't quite there with it. It's just a little low. But he goes on to talk about how he doesn't think the time of Moses, especially with Pharaoh, that's the passage he's reading from Exodus, he doesn't believe it to be true, or doesn't believe that it should be any more true than today. Okay. And he goes on to say that the command given to Moses in Exodus 3:14, when God tells Moses who under whose authority should Moses report by, and God says, tell them the I am sent you. So he takes that as being the I am persona. You know, it's like the Stephen Furtick message. He goes on to say that I am the one that's going to fix all of these problems. And then he goes on to talk about how he's going to be an advocate for, you know, the social justice warriors, and he's going to be an advocate for the LGBTQ community, and how he is going to, and he keeps saying, I am, I am, I am. And then he goes off to say, I don't care what you call it, whether it's God or the universe or the feeling in your stomach or your consciousness or unconsciousness or whatever. He's like, what we can agree upon is, you know, we have to do something, which shows, obviously, a very heretical position to take. He has undermined scripture and has placed himself in this mindset of terrible, terrible theology, and has allowed it to influence the way he teaches and the way he, you know, impacts the community around him. And his church is not a small church. He certainly has a following in order to convey this message to. So it's sad. It really is. Just all of these people and the pot shots that they take, you know, the just unbiblical personas that they portray, and they do so in the name of quote unquote scripture. And, you know, like Mason here, Mason Maniniga, however you say his last name, he's a deconstructionist. Let's see what his little bio here on Twitter says. Liberation theology in the streets, process theology in the sheets. He's the podcast host of People's Theology in Black Sheep Pod. So he doesn't actually preach in a church, thankfully, but he, quote unquote, claims to have authority. And most of his messages are driven towards, obviously, the liberation message, similar to Zach's. But he also talks a lot about sex and homosexuality. And he says this just actually yesterday. Evangelicals, when the Bible talks about homosexuality, the Bible is clear. Evangelicals, when it talks about caring about immigrants, we need more context. No, nobody's saying the second thing. We are saying that we obviously are a nation of law, and that law should be abided. That's what we are called to do as Christians in Romans 13. We are called to obey the law of the land. We have no problems with immigrants or helping the poor or helping those who are displaced or helping those who need assistance. We absolutely do more philanthropy than any other group in the world. We love helping people. And the Bible is clear on what homosexuality is. I mean, he's so gung-ho to cause division that he plays things that aren't even equivalent to each other against each other. And that's pretty much his mantra on running a page. So if you go and happen to check him out, I really urge you to just be cautious reading some of his content, because it is quite dangerous. So I'm going to slow the show down here a little bit and close it out, just because last week was a little bit longer. I want to kind of get through today. You know, I can go through and cherry pick every, you know, every account on Twitter that I think is bad. All I ask for you to do is just have discernment. Pay attention to what people are saying. Is this really something that can be put under the lens of scripture and be scrutinized? Or is this something that fails when it comes to, you know, the overall general historical narrative of the church? Have discernment, people. It is not a crime to say, you know what, this guy obviously has been rubbing me wrong. It doesn't make sense to me. Why is he like this? I need to unfollow. So by all means, take everything I say with a grain of salt. Put everything I say under the lens of scripture. Take everything anybody says under the lens of scripture and with a grain of salt. Don't just blindly follow somebody because they have some sort of authority, or you might feel that they're right. be cautious and be wary of who you follow on social media. That's been the whole premise of this entire series. Just be cautious and wary of where you get your theology from. Now, if you want to follow somebody just because you like to take the pot shots back at them and pick fights and debates with them, by all means, go for it. I know a lot of people do that. And there's people that do it with me. So by all means, take the pot shots. I mean, it's a free game. You're on public platform. By all means, go for it. But just be cautious where you get your theology. Always root it back in scripture. And hopefully you have a confessional basis that you can turn to. Turn to the Apostolic Church. Look for a collective fundamental teaching from the time of Christ to today. So next week, we're going to dig into some Facebook stuff, and then we'll probably wrap the series after a couple more weeks and just get back to our Friday-only shows. And until then, guys, check out the Olivet Discourse Conversation on Fridays and the Bible in a Year on Saturday. Until next time we visit, see you guys later. Bless.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.